Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio, and I, of course, am Dan Frio. I have a special guest today. This young man, he's a YouTube sensation. Basically, I started following him because he has a kind of a unique spin on rental income, rental properties, investing in rental properties. His name is Richard. He's the founder of Short Term Rental University, STR University, and he's been kind enough to join us today. The reason why I reached out to him is, you know, I've had rental properties, and the biggest struggle that I had was finding good tenants, finding someone to manage those properties. And the concept Richard has, it every video and I watch, and everyone kind of is like, never thought of that. Wow, that's a great idea. Wow, you know, and he's got a great way to do this, and he can script you all the way through from, you know, how to prospect a house all the way to getting the property and managing it. So welcome, Richard. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Dan, thank you so very much. I'm really honored to be here, and I would love to help budding entrepreneurs and budding real estate professionals and investment professionals really take charge of the opportunity set, which I describe as the best opportunity I've seen to manage rental real estate, income-producing real estate, cash flow-producing real estate in a long time. And it's here, and it's now, and it's anyone can get started.
Cool. So what posed you to do this? What's your, kind of your background, your past? You know, I want to basically let people know what's your past, how you figured all this out, and then what you're doing today, and then we'll give them insights on what the future looks like and how maybe they can get involved in doing this with you, you know, you mentoring them through this process. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Awesome. Okay, so I started my career, I graduated with a MBA from Wharton, and I went into finance, and I was managing a $4.5 billion with a B portfolio of risk assets for some of the finest institutions and insurance companies. And that was going really well. I had a really great quality of life, a lot of income, until it stopped. The music stopped in 2008, what I call the Great Depression. I was co-head of investments running this $4.5 billion hedge fund. And then one day I got tapped on the shoulder and it was my time and I was relieved of my duties. I was literally fired and escorted out the door after 8 years of building this business from $100 million under management to becoming the co-head of investments of $4.5 billion. And my life changed like a snap of the fingers overnight.
Wow.
And so I have to reinvent myself, and I became an entrepreneur. I started a company called Brilliant Transportation. It's still in business. It's still profitable. But that really just started my entrepreneurial spirit, thinking about opportunities. And I've always been drawn to real estate. I've always owned real estate. I've always had rental producing real estate. And it was in that sort of transition period as Airbnb launched and I was having turnover in my long-term, you know, 12-month lease rentals that somebody told me a little bit about Airbnb and I didn't really believe it. And I kind of thought it was, you know, low brow and low rent and didn't really work. It wasn't a real business, but I was curious. And so I started to do a little bit of work. And at about the same time, as luck had it, my realtor said, hey, we missed the prime season to list for school to go back. And so now we have to reduce the price and let's reduce it again and let's lower the price again. And I said, you know what? Forget all that. I'm going to try this new emerging thing and see if there's anything to it. And so I went out and I furnished a 2-bedroom. It was my very first Airbnb and I did it, you know, using used furniture on the cheap. I didn't want to invest a lot. I didn't know if it was going to work or not, but I wanted to test it. And I made 3 times what my long-term broker was unable to rent it for 12 months. And that's sort of where the market is right now, is somewhere between 2x and 3x what a 12-month rental would be or a traditional long-term rental would be, is what we're seeing all across the world when you go to short-term rentals. And that's what makes it such an incredibly compelling opportunity for now. I mean, this is an opportunity that may go for 5 years or 10 or 20. It'll never go away, but there will be an adjustment of the amount of risk premium that we're being paid it'll normalize.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable for 30 years. But the real estate that you own is, right? It's still a great investment. You can always go to long-term. You can use it yourself. You can sell it. I mean, it's still a terrific asset. This is just one approach to getting as much cash flow out of the asset as possible.
You hit that right on the button. I had a condo down in Florida, right on the beach. And it was funny. And the bad thing is I'm here in Chicago. I'm so reliant on that realtor. It was funny. The realtor had like 8 properties. They were always occupied. My property seemed like it was always vacant.
Right.
And it was
right.
It was so frustrating. If I knew about this process, and hopefully we'll get to that. And I'm asking you if you would please stay for a second show, because there's so much more to go through on this thing, is, you know, that I hit that, you know, right on. You hit it right on the button. I had a property that was just milking me of monies. And even if I was even going to be happy if I could break even, and that's not the concept here. But, you know, in that case, I'm like, you know, just stop the bleeding. I just need, you know, a little bit of cash flow. So that's one of the reasons why I started watching, you know, what you do and how you do it. And it's intriguing. And every time you post a video, I get the bell, you know, the YouTube bell, and I jump right on and start watching your videos. So
you're
what
so
do you
nice.
Tell
Thank
us?
You.
Tell us a little bit about where are you buying right now? Because I saw the other day you were in the Bahamas. And then
right.
I think you're building another place. You just bought some lots at another location, and you're doing all kind of stuff. Just tell us a little bit about where you are right now.
Yeah. So what I would say is I started with one Airbnb. This is now about 4 or 5 years ago, and it was working so well that I sat down and I had an epiphany, and I created what I called at the time my 15-year plan. And in a nutshell, it was buy places that I want to spend time in, whether it's vacation or work or pleasure, and get a 15-year mortgage. The interest rates were dirt cheap. They're still relatively low. You're in the mortgage business. Now is probably a very good time to refinance or start a mortgage. So
yeah.
Back then, I was taking 15-year mortgages out. And I basically was using them 1 week or 2 weeks a year. And other people were buying me my property. And if I do that for 15 years, I now have a portfolio of unbelievable vacation rentals in my case. Doesn't have to be in anyone else's case. But I would amass a portfolio of world-class places that I want to visit 1 or 2 weeks a year that somebody else paid for. And then after 15 years, it's just like free cash flow coming in the door. So that was my 15-year plan. And that has developed and emerged. And now I just closed on a total of 20 plus acres of waterfront property down in Hatteras Island in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And now I'm now a developer. And I'm developing in short-term rentals or boutique hotels or Airbnbs, whatever nomenclature you want to assign to it. But my path went from one Airbnb to multiple Airbnbs around the country where I wanted to spend time, to finding an opportunity that is underserved and it's a great opportunity for me to realize. And now I'm developing 20 acres. So that's sort of the path that I've taken.
That's got to be kind of scary, especially you lived and I lived it as well in 2000. I'm a mortgage broker and I've been doing it for 30 years. So I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, and the oh my gosh. You know what I mean? The 2006, 7, 8, 9. That's where I had 6 properties at that point. And I started just bailing on them because it was just like it was. I wish I would have known your concepts then. Because, you know, most of the properties I had at that time, there was a couple in Florida, but in the Chicagoland area, a lot of people come here to visit. Like, I just went to Denver about 6-8 months ago, and I took my 2 sons. We went whitewater rafting, and I went to Airbnb, got a condo downtown
yep.
Denver, cheaper than I could get a hotel, and I need 2 hotels because I snore loud,
well,
and the kids are like, I'm not sleeping with you, and I'm like, so we got a 3-bedroom condo, basically the same price or cheaper than I would have bought, you know, the hotel rooms. So
right.
You know, so you to stretch out to this, I'd like to go over that a little bit more. What is your kind of protection plan of that? But no, keep going.
Yeah. So what I would basically say, just touching on your experience in Denver, is Airbnb or short-term rentals, and you can get there, you know, there's a HomeAway or VRBO. There's a lot of different platforms, but we're just going to say generically Airbnb because I think that sort of explains to people, right? Like we say Google and we mean search.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to say Airbnb, but I mean short-term rentals. And that's why our YouTube channel and our website and everything is Short-Term Rental University, because if Airbnb were to go away, this strategy, this approach, this business that I built, it doesn't go away.
Right.
Airbnb is just one piece of the pie, but it serves a real need, a real purpose, right? This isn't just about making some money or a new way of traveling. It solves a need, and you hit the nail right on the head. I got to this area because as a father of three young children, when we would travel, it was almost impossible to get adjoining hotel rooms. And I'm like, listen, I'm not putting my three young daughters on a different floor or even down the wing. I need them right next to each other. And almost every hotel says, we'll do our best. We'll note the account. We'll try. But they don't really afford you the guarantee, the comfort, the peace of mind that says my family will be close together or together, where Airbnb solves that definitionally, right? You are renting the whole house or the whole condo, and so you can be together. The other thing it does is it allows you, and this is Airbnb's sort of motto and slogan, is to live like a local. You can now live in certain areas or communities or regions or parts of the world that don't sustain a hotel, right? It may not make sense for a big hotel company to put up a hotel there. There's not enough people or there's not enough pricing power, but people that live in the community can monetize the roof over their own head.
Yep.
You know, for instance, if you go to Aunt Sally's wedding for a week, why not have that wedding paid for by Airbnb in your house when you're not there?
Yeah, good idea. So we got to take a break here. What's the best way that people can follow you? Websites, YouTubes, what do you suggest? Kind of throw out some areas where we can track you down.
So I think that the first place I would point people is to our website, which is www.str.university. And there, go ahead and sign up for our email address, and it'll point you to our YouTube channel, which is also STR University. And then we have a great community on Facebook, a free group. There's about 12,500 hosts that post every single thing from, hey, my towel is ruined, to the guest checked in late. There's a million different questions and opportunities. And that Facebook group is called Short Term Rental University.
Got it.
But
cool.
Start with the website, www.str.university.
That'll work. All right, we'll be back with Richard in 2 minutes. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I am with Richard today. He is the founder of STR University. It's short-term rentals. Why I asked Richard on here is because I experienced rental properties that killed me. I sunk tons of money into them, thought I had a great concept, and then 5 years later, everybody talks about you can't lose money in real estate. Well, guys, follow me. That's a bad way to put it. I started watching Richard on YouTube, and that's where I found him, and I asked him to kindly be on the show to kind of educate me and hopefully you out there listening on what's ways to rent your properties and make the most amount of that you can. So welcome, Richard. And if you would, please, if somebody was listening at the last segment and wasn't able to kind of follow you on how to get in touch with you, guys, if you're looking to get into investments into real estate or entrepreneurship, this is the guy you want to follow. So, Richard, tell us, you know, what's the best way somebody can track you down?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dan. You're
sure.
Very kind. The best way is to start on our website, which is www.str.university. And as Dan said, STR stands for short-term rentals. Most people think of them as Airbnb, but there's a lot of different platforms, and that's why we didn't brand ourselves as Airbnb University. We are short-term rental investors, and we focus on the short-term rental market. And so start on our website, www.str.university, and then check out all of our free content on YouTube by the same name and our Facebook group, which is a great community of 12,500 hosts asking every single thing under the sun.
Sweet. So I have properties. I want to rent and maximize my rental. But what I don't want to do is risk vacancies. You know, things happening to the property with a flow of people in and out and in and out. So I guess my question would be, why Airbnb versus I get somebody into the property, they're there for 1 year contract. I know I have a monthly check coming in versus the Airbnb. I have a rental this week or this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to have a rental next month or the following weekend. So what's your kind of take on that part of it?
Beautiful question, perfectly phrased. I'm going to go back to my prior life when I was in finance, and I mentioned in the last segment I ran a $4.5 billion portfolio of risk assets. And so my lens, the way that I view the world, is risk versus reward.
Right.
And that's a spectrum, and every person's risk tolerance is different, and almost everybody would take the same risk, but the amount that they would need to be paid would be higher, right? Like if I said, right, will you jump off of this 10-foot building? You'd say no. I said, for a dollar? No. How about 10? How about $10 million? At $10 million, you'd probably jump.
You betcha.
Right? So there's a risk-reward spectrum, and that's the way I look at the whole world. But you talked about vacancy and the comfort and the safety of that check coming every single month. That's comfort. That's confidence. You are basically leaving money on the table for that comfort and confidence. That may be the way that your mind thinks and where you're comfortable. But if I start to show you that we're going to introduce vacancy risk, but by introducing vacancy risk, you're going to make 2x what you would make or 3x, there is a tipping point where Dan says, gee, I'll jump off that 10-foot building because I'm getting paid $10 million. And that's how I got to Airbnbs in the first place. There is a inefficiency. We are being paid more premium to take that vacancy risk than is justified. The vacancy risk is a fallacy. You're going to have more occupancy than you think. You're going to make more money than you think. You're going to cash flow much more. And that's a point in time. We talked in the last segment that could last for 5 years or 10 or 15, but it's not going to last forever. The market will normalize and that risk premium will come down.
That makes complete sense, because you're thinking, if I could get, you know, let's say I have a rental property, I'm making $1,000 a month, but I'm getting $100, $150 a night. I can basically just rent it out on the weekends, or I'm getting $200 a night, especially in the Chicagoland area. I'll go down. My wife and I will go down in January because we can get a hotel for $60. You try to go down in May, June, July. I mean, you're looking at $300, $400, $500 a night. So
right.
If you can get a
and
nice,
so that's, the
yeah,
way,
that's phenomenal. Awesome. No, go ahead.
That's
sorry.
The way that you start to think about it, right?
Is not
the safety of the monthly. There's a safety in saying it's occupied 30 days a month, and there's a safety in saying it's occupied for 12 months. So we can remove that safety and just say, okay, but let's not care about number of days of occupancy, and let's not care about seasonality. Let's just look at a calendar year. How much money am I going to make in a calendar year? And so using your examples of peak occupancy at $500 a night, if you're full at the $500 a night and you're vacant during the shoulder season or the slow season, there's less wear and tear, there's less utilities, your depreciation expense is just as high, so you're making as much money, if not more, than you normally would. But let's look at this over the course of a year as opposed to every single day and every single month.
How do you manage these things? You're in, like, the last properties you bought was in the Bahamas. God bless you. I hope you go there every weekend. But how do you manage this process? I guess let's dig in a little deeper and then...
Yeah. So what I teach people on the YouTube channel for free and in our Facebook group is exactly how to do that, right? There's an art and a science, and it's a business. So people that are entrepreneurial and want to do this and start to monetize an asset over their head will watch the videos just like you did. It's free. Maybe you watch them a few times. Maybe you get on the Facebook group and you ask questions. You get up to speed and you take that risk and you get started. But the reality of it is, it's like no different than any other business, right? You have to have certain people that you rely on, whether it's a cleaning team, you have to have calendar management. There's certain tasks that are required. We educate people on how to do them. Everybody can do them. There's nothing here that's rocket science or particularly challenging, which is sort of like a blind spot for me. People ask me all these questions like I'm the expert. And to me, it's very intuitive, right? It just makes a lot of sense. But I'm helping people that don't have that, either that intuition, or they want that support, or they want the mentor. So it's all available. It's there. Just go check it out.
Gotcha. Does Airbnb, what services do they provide in this? So is all of your properties listed basically through Airbnb, or what other channels do you use? You don't have to give all your tricks away.
Sure. But no, I'm happy to.
Yeah. What other channels do you use other than Airbnb to expose these properties to get the maximum, you know, occupancy and the maximum rates that you're looking to charge?
So I have all of my properties listed on at least 2 platforms, and I recommend everybody do the same. That way you're not beholden to any one person or any one platform. They could change your ranking or your SEO, where you show up, and you don't want your business to suffer just because somebody else has made a change. Mm-hmm. So I recommend that you list on at least 2 platforms, and I list on Airbnb and HomeAway, which is the parent of VRBO. But other people will list on Booking.com and Travelocity, and there's people create their own websites. I mean, there's a myriad of things that one can do. But to be perfectly honest, I'm at the price point and the profitability that I want just using those two platforms, and I don't need to add a third today. Maybe in the future I will, but right now business is running really smoothly. I've got the right occupancy, the right mix, the right profitability, and I don't want more inquiries and more things to do. I want to just monetize what I have going.
So I'm a I'll just talk about me personally. I have own a business. I am basically working that business 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I have a wife. I have three kids, but I'd like to do this. But I don't have a whole staff of people to help me put it all together. In that little nutshell, what's a good way for a person in my situation to kind of get, I won't say get started because that's going to be tomorrow's show, to manage it? Does Airbnb and these other systems, do they help you kind of with the bookings and the cleanings and things like that? Or are you on your own to do that?
So Airbnb and these other companies are basically transactional platforms. And really what they do is they match buyer with seller or guest with host. So they'll do the payments, they'll do the calendar stuff. But then the actual operation end of it, how you fulfill your duties as a host, you're entirely on your own.
Got it.
That said, it's not really that challenging. It's not particularly time consuming. It is more work than long-term rentals where you set it, you know, you fix it up once, you rent it for 12 months, you kind of go away and hope that the boiler doesn't break.
Yeah.
Here you still may have that boiler type issue, so it's no different short-term versus long-term. But there is more stuff that you need to do in terms of communication and getting the place ready. And we teach people how to do it so that we minimize the impact, so it's not a huge burden, and so that you can go ahead and get started. And the thing that I would say is, right now, at the premium that we talked about, how much more you're getting paid, you're being compensated really highly for your time.
Gotcha.
And I encourage people to take that extra compensation and save it and scale their business and save it and scale their teams so that you're not doing the cleaning yourself. You hire and you outsource. And in fact, you can make money on the cleaning, right? I can charge $100 per day for cleaning and get it clean for $75.
Yeah.
So the point is, we can teach people how to do this and automate it so that you can do it remotely and you don't have to quit your job and you don't have to, you know, sacrifice time with your family. This is supposed to be enhancing of your quality of life, and it's paying you to do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Richard, I want to thank you. I asked Richard basically to do the show, but there's so much content here. I'm asking him to stay around and come back again tomorrow, because I want to know how to get started in this. I hope you do too. So again, Richard, tell us how what's the best way we can find you for you to help mentor us into the next level of financing properties.
Great. So good. Start at our website, www.str.university. Sign up for our free emails, and that way we can stay in communication. But then as far as the free content that we put out, go to the YouTube channel by the same name, STR University, and then come and interface with 12,500 people that are either hosts, wannabe hosts, or looking to help people in their hosting journey. And that's in our free Facebook group, Short-Term Rental University.
God bless you, man. So I want to thank everybody for listening today. I hope if you didn't get anything out of this, something's wrong. So I'm going to come back tomorrow again with Richard. And again, thank you for listening, guys. God bless. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.